Welcome to The Guide to Making Money as a Music Producer. I'm Dan Furr, and this is a podcast where we talk about all the different ways that musical creatives have used to earn money. In this podcast, we hear stories directly from industry professionals and learn what worked for them and what didn't work. Most importantly, we discuss how they've managed to carve out a sustainable living for themselves doing what they love and how you can do the same. Hey everyone, Dan Furr here. Today we have an amazing episode with Don't Mess With Juan. This episode actually touched on so many great topics that we actually had to split it into two, so make sure to check out part two next week. This episode we touch on two really important topics. The first being, is a career in music production even for you, or is this something better left as a hobby? And the second thing we discuss is goal planning, and how important it is to have a really good goal planning strategy. Here I'm sitting down with Steph from Don't Mess With Juan, and she's got a lot of golden nuggets that she's going to share with us of her wisdom and her background. And so I just want to dive on in and tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Yeah, well, first of all, hi, Dan, and thank you so much for having me here on your podcast. I think it's super cool. I listen to your other podcast and it's super valuable, and I'm happy to be part of it. And also, it's kind of special because we've been working together for like a year and a half or so. So,
a good chunk of time now, yeah. And it's been a wonderful experience the whole way through.
Yeah, same thing. So it's kind of special to be here today and already have this little journey behind and going forward. So thank you. And then I wanted, before I present myself, I wanted to say two little things for anyone listening. First of all, like, we're gonna have an exploration talk. Like, I'm not telling any truths or any secret techniques to make money. I'll just be sharing my own little path, and it's one way of doing. And I would advise to never really take any advice too seriously. Always put your own instinct and feelings on top of any advice. So this first and second, I know, Dan, the title of your podcast is How to Make Money with Music. And I just want to say, you know, I kind of laughed first time when I saw the title, because I said yes to doing the podcast before knowing the title. So I didn't know we would talk about that. And then I was like, oh, crap, like, I'm not making a lot of money. And I was like, what am I going to say, you know? But then I think it's also kind of okay to have someone who's still, you know, in the path going towards at some point being sustainable. And making money with music is definitely not the fastest way. And I do believe it's absolutely possible to find a way to make money if this is like really what you want to do and stuff for passion, and that you can't see yourself doing anything else than music, then I do believe it's possible. But yeah, no magic here.
Yeah, and so those are two really good insights to say, because, you know, the first one touching on the reality that, you know, advice is advice and it's best considered as such. You know, like, anything that we say on this episode is, or anything that we say throughout this whole podcast, is very anecdotal. It's stories of people and how they've managed to carve out their path and their story. And, you know, these are stories and progressions that worked for them. And there's going to be a lot of bits of value that you can take away from them. But like Steph says, there's no formula to success. There's no do these things, do these steps, and you will get to where you want to go. And that's a really important aspect to make, because anything we say on this show can definitely help you, but when it'll help you if used in the right setting. And that's why, you know, the key point that she made is you got to use your own sort of your own perspective and your own situation to look at what is in front of you and what is actually best going to help you in these situations. And a lot of the topics, fortunately, that we cover in this podcast is quite broad, so it'll be able to help in a lot of situations. But there are, you know, take everything with a grain of salt, and you know, always take it back, always think back to the perspective you're on. And the other point she touched on is, you know, it is you know, the title of this podcast is a little humorous in that sense, you know, how to make money in music. It is really about, you know, money and creating is, it's more so about creating a sustainable and comfortable life out of music. And unfortunately, in this realm, in this reality, we need music, or we need money to be able to do that. You know, you can't really live a free life if you don't have money, whether that's coming from some source or another. And, you know, the one thing she touched on is, if you feel like you can't do anything else, not necessarily can't do anything else, but if you feel like you want to do this and there's, you know, you've tried other jobs, you've done other things, you're just, you don't find that satisfaction, you don't find that thrill, there is 100% a possibility and a way for you to carve out a path that's going to work for you. And it's completely doable. Is it easy? No, but it's completely doable. And, you know, that's what this show is about, is showing you how to really achieve those goals for yourself and find more self-satisfaction rather than become a millionaire off music. No, it's about living modestly and enjoying what you actually do on a day-to-day basis, because value is a lot more than money. Value is your freedom of choice, the autonomy to do what you want when you want, you know, not having to slave around for other people. It gives you so much more freedom to live your life the way that you want to live. And, you know, some people, they just can't see another way of being. And that's exactly who this show is really for. And yeah, so those are two really wonderful points to talk about. So I'm glad we addressed them, because the starting off and making money in this industry is by no means easy, but it is definitely doable when you are willing to put in the effort and have the passion.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe changing a little bit what is going to fill you up, right? So I think you talked about it in another podcast, but maybe changing your definition of success, right? So maybe the success won't come from making money, because this will take 5 to 10 years, for example, but maybe it can come from some peer validation. It can come from making beautiful connection. It can come from, oh, wow, I made a song from my own and I'm really happy about it. And, you know, smaller things, and switching things a little bit around in our perceptions and in our expectations.
Yeah, and the one thing that's also a little bit humorous about this title is the initial title that I was going for this podcast was How to Make Your First Dollar in Music. And I kind of shied away from that for whatever reason. I can't entirely remember now, and you know, I still don't necessarily know which one I entirely prefer. But that's always been the initial goal, is how to make, you know, your first dollar. You're just starting out and you don't really even know how to begin, or maybe you've started out a little bit, but you don't really know how to take things to just a little bit more than just some minor things, minor opportunities here and there, right? It's really designed for the people that are getting started and like, well, how do I even get my foot in the door and figure out if what I can offer is beneficial in this scene and if what I can offer is actually something I enjoy offering, right? Because there's a lot of unknowns in, you know, starting up your own business and starting up your own, you know, music brand, essentially. There's a lot of unknowns, and you figure those unknowns out along the way. It's never something you know right off the beginning, this is my plan, and you stick true to that plan. It's always, this is my plan, and you venture way off that plan and end up somewhere completely different. And that's the nature of this thing. That's the nature of the industry. And so the show is really designed for those people that are, you know, just basically trying to figure out, well, how do I get my foot in the door? Where do I get started? And will I actually enjoy doing what I'm doing? And is, you know, is this something I want to pursue? And, you know, there's so many different avenues for enjoyment in this industry that this show is really meant to just showcase all the different opportunities and just put that insight into their minds, be like, oh, that's an opportunity I didn't know about. That's an opportunity I didn't know about. That kind of seems way more exciting than what I'm pursuing now, but still lines up with the excitement that I gained from that first thing, right? And it sort of steers them towards something that may inspire them a little bit more. So it's all about showing the different opportunities that you can earn some money in this industry, and all about the different opportunities and ways where they can grow their brand to actually get in a position where they can earn more opportunities.
Yeah, and it's definitely, I think, good from this podcast to to hear all of these things, to not maybe get lost too much, because this is a big danger when you start like getting lost in the ocean of ways and of truths and of different channels. And you just can't do it all when you start. So you just gotta make those first little moves. And it's really about the journey, and most of the time the result will be different from what you were aiming for, but this is kind of the journey. So
yeah, you ask any artist what their plan was at the beginning versus where they are now. There's never a consistency. They always think they're going to go one way and then end up in some other direction, completely different, but way happier and way more fulfilled with just sort of following what works and what excites them more, rather than just forcing down this one path that, you know, if you don't know things at the beginning, you might think that that's the best path. But as you go along, you learn more things. And as you learn things, it's very common to realize that, oh, the initial goals and plans I thought, they don't line up with this new information and these new values that I've learned. And so it's always important to reevaluate the situation and be like, okay, is what I wanted actually what I wanted? Or is there some different path that I can take that will be more fulfilling? And that's the beauty of this show, is we just want to show you all the different opportunities and all the different things available so that you can make those decisions for yourselves.
Yeah, and as in real life, I think it helps, you know, to do the real life path, because it's the same thing with the real life path. You know, we try to have control on where we're going, but we don't. And most of the most beautiful things that can happen to us in life are things that weren't planned and were meant to go somewhere else. So I think it's also a beautiful parallel to kind of translate those knowledge to your life path as well. I think it's valuable.
100%. So that was a wonderful little tidbit to go into. So now let's learn a little bit about who you are and your wonderful backstory.
Yeah, so I'm Steph, for people who don't know me, and I make electronic music under the moniker of Don't Mess With Juan. I tell the stories of the character of Juan and other characters, and I work with the illustrator Abraham Mer, who brings those characters and this universe to life. And I also work very closely with Stefano from the label Sono Music Group to kind of build the system around that and try to, yeah, to make our path around this project. So this is what I do now. And a little bit about my background. I guess I didn't have like a very typical background. Like, I didn't play into bands, I didn't tour, I didn't have any kind of those experiences. I started really young because I do come from a family of musicians. And they're all like so good. This was a bit of a difficulty for me with imposter syndrome. But so I guess probably my dad tried to teach me a little bit of piano when I was super young, like 5 years old. And I was already stubborn and wanted to be perfect as first. So I think he got a little bit annoyed with me.
Yeah.
So this was the beginning. And then I went to primary school concentration with music. I was super lucky to get in there. I did some violin, some flute, some choir. And I chose classical piano as my instrument. But, you know, I would love the classes and love all the build up those pieces with in duo, or doing the exams with my teacher alone and getting her feedback. But then all of this was to make a big concert at the end of the year, and I was super stressed. So this kind of traumatized me a little bit, and I guess in my 12 years old head, I didn't see other possibility than making music to make a concert, like alone in front of a big audience. And this was, I didn't see myself in this, you know, I didn't feel I had my place in that kind of system. So I quit at 12 years old, my classical music path, if you would say. But I guess I was lucky. I am sure I absorbed a lot of music theory from those years, which was a very, very good thing.
Yeah, I would imagine that definitely helped out a little bit. Yeah.
Cause music theory is such an important thing, and when you're young, it's kind of it gets absorbed without you working too hard. So, so I guess that was good. But then, so I quit at 12 years old, and then later on in life, music kind of came back to me as I was traveling. The beginning of my 20s, I was traveling with a friend, and then this friend had to abruptly leave and I was left traveling alone. I was super scared. So I decided to buy a little ukulele guitar, and from there I started to play every day, started to learn a little bit more seriously some covers and have a little book of covers, and then starting to write my own things. And then also a big thing that played a big role right in between those traveling, like I worked in a sound post-production company because I had studied in television post-production, and so I worked a little bit in, I was super lucky to work in a big studio of sound post-production with like some amazing editors, dialogue editors, Foley, sound design. I was super, super lucky. All these people transmitted me so much passion. So this plays a big role of where I am now. And all of these things put together kind of evolved into producing music later on.
Yeah, so that is quite a rich backstory. You know, it definitely sounds there's a lot in your pretty much entire life. You've been surrounded by music, you've been surrounded by sound, you've been surrounded by, you know, the elements that are just music. And so the one thing I found quite interesting in there is you definitely, like, you know, at the beginning you were like, you kind of saw yourself only down this concerto, you didn't really understand there was another way to think about music. And I find that's a headspace that, you know, goes in line with kind of what we were saying before. There's a lot of people that sort of, they see their initial goal and they get so stuck on that final process of that goal that they can't really see the shortcomings of their goal or why that might not be the best goal for them. And, you know, it's very fortunate that you were able to kind of figure that out at a reasonably youngish age, rather than sort of striving towards continuing it, right? Because there's so many people I know that have continued on that path for, you know, upwards until their, you know, mid-20s or whatever, and then finally sort of have that realization later on, and, you know, they go through a little bit of confusion where they feel like, oh, well, that was the past entirety of my life, and now I don't want to do that anymore, and they feel very confused about where to take things next. And, you know, that can be a very overwhelming feeling, to say the least. And, you know, one really easy way to just ensure that, you know, you can always be aware of your surroundings is just sort of consciously, you know, reevaluate your goals and where you're headed. And this sort of, you know, reminds me of just sort of something that I do fairly regularly. I try to do it every week, or if not every other week. And it is literally just goal planning and goal orienting. And I, you know, I have these dedicated goal sheets, and it doesn't have to be a complex system. I literally do it on Google Sheets, you know, like everybody has access to that who has internet. It's a very simple, simple system. But I just sort of track my goals and, you know, figure out what the goals are, what they're doing towards. And I have, you know, long-term goals, and then I have shorter goals. And those shorter goals, I always make sure if they align up with my long-term goals. Because if my shorter goals don't align with my long-term goals, then what's the point of doing those short-term goals? Because they're not going to help me progress in a manner that I want to go, right? So it's constantly evaluating your goals and comparing them against your other goals to be like, are these fighting each other, or are these two completely different goals? And if you find yourself in a position where you have, you know, short-term goals that completely counteract your long-term goals, well, then you have a little bit of thinking to do and be like, well, which goal is more important to me, right? Is this short-term goal that will lead to a lot more success over this long-term goal, or even not necessarily success, but more happiness as well, right? And so the key point I'm trying to make here is, a large part of what I do on a on at least a monthly basis, but generally more regularly than that, is spend an hour, you know, just sitting down, looking at my goals and looking at the long-term goals, the short-term goals, and what I've done throughout the week. And when you start to track your progress, being like, this is what I did this week, is what I did this past week, do those even align with my short-term goals? And when you start to track yourself, you gain a little bit of accountability, and it makes it way easier to see these things. Because let's face it, when you're just in the middle of trying to pursue a goal, it can be very easy to get lost and blindsided by a lot of things. But if you constantly take a step back and force yourself to look at these things, you know, what did I do today? Did what I do today actually bring me a step closer to where I want to be tomorrow? And sometimes it may be hard to answer that question, but generally it's pretty easy to figure out, well, it kind of was in line with what I wanted to do, or, you know, I sat and watched movies and that is not at all in line with what I want to do and whatever else, right? So it's, once you start tracking things, it becomes a lot easier to see if your long-term goals stay a priority and stay actually something that's important and going to bring you happiness in the long run. Because if you keep chasing a goal that isn't necessarily going to fulfill you in the long run, then that's a very exhausting process.
Yeah, I think you've got a good system going on there. I should do that. The tracking.
Yeah, no, it's something, and I'm not going to lie, I fall in and out of it every now and then. Like, there's some weeks I'm on it every week and other months where I'm like barely struggling to just get by. But I find the more and more I do it, the more on top of things and aware of what I'm doing, and I just feel more prepared, you know? And a large part of building success and building growth is confidence and being prepared. And it's little things like that that can just give you that extra little bit of confidence and preparedness to be able to just be like, yeah, I got this. I know what I'm doing and I know what to expect.
Exactly. And it's like it also gives you the validation, right? Because we were talking about success and stuff, but you need to find ways to feel fulfilled by your own self, because for many years, no one will come and say you make a good job. So you need to, and this kind of system, yeah, it makes you realize, like, and you're on your own, right? There's no one telling you you're doing a good job, but by having this system, you can yourself feel like, hey, I'm going towards goal. This week was really aligned with my goal, like, yay. Or this week was a little bit less aligned, but it's okay. I'm gonna, you know, shift things back for next week. And so I think this is also, like, as you say, the confidence, the little confidence, the preparedness, feeling on top of your things, even if you're kind of alone in it.
Yeah. And it's, I feel like it's, you know, you make a good point. I feel like, especially if you're alone in it, right? Because like you said, no one's really telling you have a good job, and it's very hard to tell yourself you had a good job. Or on the contrary, it can be too easy to tell yourself you did a good job if you don't actually fully pay attention to what you did, right? There's a lot of situations where I'm like, at the end of the day, I feel great about what I did. And then I just sort of track what I actually did, look at my calendar, look at my things, look at how much work I actually did. I'm like, wow, I did like 3 hours of work today. Why did I feel so productive? Like, there are ways your brain can trick you to feel like you did things when you really didn't do a whole lot that progresses you to where you want to go, right? And that can be a very tricky thing to navigate. So, you know, the more and more you're aware of what you're doing and where you want to go, the easier it is to actually continuously get there.
Yeah, I totally agree.